Well, happy Father's Day, everybody. It is a, my name is Stephen Luttenberg. I'm the youth and young adult director here at Christ Church. I want to welcome us here as well as those that are joining us online. It is a special Father's Day for me. It is my last Father's Day that I am without children. And so my wife is expecting our first baby girl in August. So we are... We are looking forward to that. Evelyn Christine's going to be here in 2 months. I know it's going to fly by like no other, but in preparation for her coming, I've been working really, really hard on something that I think is really important that all dads in the world are really good at. I mean, I have not met a father, I have not met a man that is not really good at this. And it just comes with being a dad. So I've been working hard to prepare for it, and that is telling dad jokes. So I've been working really hard at trying to live up to my own dad's level of dad jokes, and they are pretty up there. And so I've got one that I can share with you. It's not the best, but it's what I've got so far. What did the plate say to the fork? What did the plate say to the fork? And the plate said, "Dinner's on me." Yeah, I've got to work on them. I got 2 months, so if you're a dad, you could share your dad jokes with me. All kidding aside, we love our dads, and I know that Father's Day could be a very special day, but it also could be a day that is painful for many, and so we want to be sensitive to that. And we know that there's a lot of emotions, good and happiness and sadness that comes with Father's Day, and so we want to pray for everybody and keep that in mind. But I also want to share with you 4 things today that I've learned, not necessarily as a father, but as a son of my dad and my granddad and my grandpa There's just some things that I feel like that Scripture can teach us and what I've learned through the past. And so we're going to walk through those here this morning. But the first thing that I've learned about life, and I learned about God, and I learned about my time with my family is God delights in His children, in His creation. God delights in His creation and His children. And so growing up, one of the memories that I had, my dad used to come up with these unique stories. Like he would probably daydream about what he's going to share with me while I was going to bed. And so he would have these very intricate bedtime stories that he would come up with. There's all sorts of characters, and one of my favorites, there's a guy named Mr. Lulu. My family's laughing back there, but they know what that's about. But anyway, so he would share these stories with me, and he did that with my siblings too. And so that was just, it was a special time that I had with him. And so if you look at this picture here, I asked Lisa to find the most beautiful sunrise. And so that's a gorgeous picture. And so God's creation, God's children, God enjoys and delights in creating them and spending time with them. The Scripture talks a lot about this. And in the book of Genesis, it says this, Genesis 1, 29 through 31, actually verse 27, it says, "So God created mankind in His own image. Male and female, He created them. God blessed them and said to them, 'Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, and over every living creature that moves on the ground.' Then God said, 'I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth, and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food.' And He said to all the beasts and to the earth, and all the birds in the sky, and all the creatures that move on the ground, 'Everything that has breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food.' And it was so." And this is my favorite part of this scripture. It says, "God saw that all that He had made, and He said it was very good. And there was evening and there was morning and the sixth day. So God created his creation to really worship God. And so if you look, if you see a waterfall, if you see, you know, just the beauty of the sunrise, you can see how gorgeous it is. If you look at the sky on a clear day, you can see all the stars. They're just up there worshiping God. They're just proclaiming who God is. And that's what we are to do, right? We're to proclaim the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So God enjoys spending time with his creation. Much of you have enjoyed spending time with your kids. It's an incredible gift that God has given us, this gift of life. And sometimes I think that we take that for granted sometimes. Like, you know, we can get caught up in the mundane, or we can get caught up complaining about things. And you're like, man, if you just take time to worship and remember that, man, I am blessed. Like, God is good. God has given me this life and this breath. And so I don't have time to spend time complaining about these things. I'd rather be spending time to make a difference. And so first thing is God enjoys in his creation and enjoys spending time with him. When you spend time with God, I mean, I don't think anything better than that. Spending time with God. Second thing, you're not a bother to God. I love this picture here. You got a father and son. They're just looking at each other. They're happy. They're smiling. And so you're not a bother to God. And so one of the things that I think parents and fathers have is a unique opportunity to give wisdom to their children. And so I remember growing up that my dad is a pretty handy guy. And so when something's broken in the house, or, you know, the refrigerator stops running, there's a dad joke in there somewhere. But thank you. You know, he's a pretty handy guy, so he liked to fix things. And so he taught me, you know, how to fix things. And so one of my favorite memories of working on a project with my dad is when I was in college. And so, man, I was like, I need a couch, right? And so I'm a broke college student, so I'm not going to be able to afford a couch. And so I look at him, and then I said, hey, you know, what do you think about building a couch? He's like, yeah, we could do it. And so we got the tools together, and we had a wood frame couch, and so we basically copied the couch that we had, and we built it in a weekend. Here I am coming home Friday, and I was leaving for school Sunday, and we took the couch to school with me, and I was like, great, I got a couch. It was awesome, and I want to brag on us, because this is almost 8 years later, and the couch still, there's nothing, I mean, it still works, and so it's in my brother's room, and so I just love learning, and I loved, you know, learning from my dad and how to use tools. And I would borrow these tools from him, and oftentimes they would end up missing. And you, that's not a very good thing when tools are missing. And so a couple Father's Days ago, I ended up replacing the tools, and I got him this awesome, like, tool set. It wasn't Craftsman. I got it at Lowe's. It's Kobalt. There you go. But I got in this tool set to replace all the tools that I have misplaced over the years. But anyway, so you're not a bother to God. Learning from God, asking God for wisdom. You see, I think that's almost a lost art these days with the invention of technology and the information that is out there on Google and YouTube. And so if you want to find out something, what do? You Google it, right? How do I do this? Or you go on YouTube and you say, how do I change a tire? Or you search it on YouTube, right? And so there's a new statistic that 94% of teenagers and people coming up, you know, growing up now, 94% of them, instead of going to their parents or instead of going for a friend for advice or going for wisdom, you search it on the internet. You know, you look on the internet for these questions. And so you can imagine the questions that, you know, that we don't necessarily want the internet to answer, you know, when you deal with big questions of life. And so I guarantee it that people are searching these things. You know, how do you read the Bible? That's a big one on YouTube right now. You know, there's no church that has an answer to that. And so that makes me sad. There's some people that do, but there's not a church response on how to read the Bible. So anyway, I want to show you this video. It kind of illustrates this better.
l'univers, c'est un défi.
Elles se perdent dans la technologie. Non?
Aujourd'hui, tout se passe sur Internet.
Su telefono, comunicarse con sus amigos.
You know, they have the world at their fingertips.
Do your kids come to you as much as you went to your dad?
No.
So first up, I'm going to have you look up a few things on the internet.
How do I tie a tie?
¿Cómo preguntar una chica cuando salir?
Hey.
¿Cómo es qu'on se rase?
How do I fry an egg?
Bien.
Le bas a brûlé.
¿Cuál es tu color favorito?
Now I'm going to have you ask your dad.
¿Qué estás haciendo? ¿Qué?
¿Qué es que tu fais?
Le miras a los ojos.
Il faut que tu fasses deux fois le tour. Avec ça, ça sera plus simple.
Right. Salga todo perfecto, ¿no? ¿Eh?
Mm-hmm. Sí.
Right. It's pretty good.
Tiene que tener presencia. Decime a mí. Explicar lo que hay que hacer, ¿no?
Mm-hmm. Voilà, premier rasage.
Ta-da.
Ta-da.
So, which was better?
The better teacher was my dad.
Et mi papa.
Était plus personnel sur les informations.
Sabe lo que yo no entiendo.
Teus filhos são a coisa mais importante do mundo e...
Je voudrais remercier mon papa.
Et te amo.
Também te amo.
Sano.
I had to watch that. Like, yeah, that's a good video. I had to watch that like 20 times to not be able to cry in front of you right now. So it was, that's a powerful video of you know, isn't it true, parents? I mean, I can't answer this question yet, but there's nothing greater that gives you wisdom and joy when your kids come to you for advice. Not just dads, but mothers too, and grandparents, and granddads or grandmas. Like, when they come to you for advice, I mean, you can give life, you can give wisdom. And if you guys enjoy in that, and if we enjoy in that, you know, how much more so is the Father infinitely wiser than we are, and how much joy that He gets when His children come and ask Him, hey, you know, God, give me wisdom. I need Your Holy Spirit's direction. Like, I just think that's something that is so important. And so Jesus tells another parable about this. And, you know, it comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 18. It says this, and Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, in a certain town, there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought. That's a pretty bad position to be in, right? Okay, so verse 3, it says, and there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with a plea. Grant me justice against my adversary, she said. For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or care what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, and I'm just like... This lady keeps bothering me. I'm going to answer her. I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually come and attack me. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? Answer is no. It's a rhetorical question. If you look in Greek, never mind. I'm not going to get into Greek. Anyway, I tell you, he will see that they get justice, and quickly, however, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? You see, most of Jesus' parables are allegories. Most of them are allegories. So if this were an allegory, you could say, okay, well, God is the judge, the unjust judge, that doesn't care about people or cares what he thinks. And then we might, you know, we might be the widows that keep bothering God and keep, you know, eventually maybe if we keep bothering God enough that he will cave. I'm just reminded that when I was growing up, I was known for asking a ton of questions. Why are we doing this? Why are we doing that? Why are we doing this? You know, there's a stage of, you know, you guys know how old they are, but there's, you know, thousand questions. You know, you're just asking all these questions. And you're like, are we there yet? Or, you know. But anyway, that story is not an allegory. Instead, it's a contrast. You see, what Jesus is saying is God is nothing like the judge. And God is, and we are nothing like the helpless widow. You see, we're the exact opposite. You see, God absolutely cares and listens to you the first time. And, you know, we are not helpless like the widow is. And so Jesus told that story to say, hey, you know, listen, pray to God, because he is absolutely listening to you. The third point I want to share with you is we are not alone. You are not alone. And so I love this picture. It reminds me of a story growing up. When I was first learning to ride a bike, I remember this is the first time I was in the big leagues, right? I was getting on my sister's bike, and this is probably one of the first times I've ever been on it. And I was, you know, I was at the end of the cul-de-sac. I was on this bike here, and I was getting ready to launch off for the first time. And there's two things I was probably critically lacking. One of them was really how to brake, and the second thing was really my turns weren't the best. You can just imagine. So here I am, you know, getting ready to launch, and we're at the end of the cul-de-sac, and I started going. I started picking up speed. And the last thing I remembered, there, I went into the neighbor's yard, and there was this, I think there was a tree in the middle, and then there was, like, this round flower bed of, like, I don't know, I think there was brick all around it. And so I just remember that I thought that was a pretty good spot to go, and so the bike just went right into the flower bed, hit the bricks, and I went, flipped right over the handlebars, and I flipped right over the bike. And I can just imagine my parents were like, oh my gosh, is he okay? You know, I just got up and I said, wow, that was fun. Can we do it again? And so, but you guys can probably remember maybe the first time you rode a bike, or, you know, if you were launching your kids off. But there's a point in our life that, you know, we have to step out and do things alone. Right? We have to step out in faith and go into places that are uncomfortable for us. But Scripture over and over again says you're not alone. God is with you, and the Holy Spirit is always with you, and God is always with you. You see, this kid, even though he's alone, but who's right behind him? His dad's right behind him, and he's kind of got his arms out. And I just know that you know, if we sit in the boat like the disciples, and we sit comfortably and we don't get out on the water, we're going to miss a lot of things what God has in store for us. We're going to miss a lot of opportunities that we can make a difference in the world. You see, when we walk out on the water, yeah, it's scary. And the waves are crashing and you feel alone. And there might be some of us in the room right now that are walking through a dark time in your life that you might feel alone. You might feel that, hey, I don't know what I'm doing, and I don't feel like there's anybody around me that can help me, and God just feels so distant from me right now that, you know, how can you go up here and say all this stuff? And I feel alone. And that Scripture over and over again says you're not. And I think that's one thing that God gives us as the church. You know, that's one of the things that we are to do, is to be there for each other. And so, you know, when you ask somebody at church, how are you doing? Well, what's the answer? I'm good, you know. Or you ask somebody outside of church, how are you doing? I'm good. You know, you leave the conversation at that. But how often do we peel back the masks of how we really are doing and have the tough and hard conversations? Because I feel like that's why the church exists, is to be a body of Christ, loving each other and to love the world and to love God. You see, we need to let the church and the relationships that we have, we need to, you know, life is tough. And there's going to be times that we're going to feel alone. But we have each other. And the best part is, God is right with us. And there's one of my favorite scriptures that kind of shares this. Psalms 121, many of you probably know this one. It says, I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. I think that's an amazing promise that God is always with us. The last thing I want to share with you is your sin doesn't make you second class. And I'm going to share this story with you. I was a troubled kid growing up. I did a lot of things that probably broke my parents' heart. I said some things that I probably shouldn't have. I got in trouble, especially in elementary school. I saw the principal a lot. But I remember one story specifically that I thought that, like, I was going to be like, oh my gosh. Like, I thought I couldn't fathom the punishment that was about to come to me for what happened this time. So I was 16, and I was with my friend, and he was driving, right? And so I went with him. We went to this place where we probably shouldn't have gone. Okay, so we were at this place we probably shouldn't have been. And no, he was driving, so I went with him. I didn't have a vehicle at the time. And so I knew I had to be back by midnight, right? I knew I had to be back by midnight. And so 11:45 comes, and I go over to my friend. I said, you know, hey, we should probably get going. I have to be home by midnight. And he's like, nah, you know, I'm having a good time. You know, give me 5 minutes. And I said, okay, you know, I'll give him 5 minutes. So I'm thinking to myself, it's going to cut it kind of close, right? And so 11:50 rolls around. I go and try to find my friend. I couldn't find him for at least 5 minutes. There were so many people there. And I eventually found him, you know, it's like 11:55, and I was like, hey, you know, we gotta go. Like, I have to be home. Like, it is, you know, almost midnight, I'm gonna be late. I gotta go. And he's like, no, man, you know, you're good. I said, no, I'm not good. But anyway, he didn't care about me. He didn't care about me at all. And so here comes midnight comes, and I'm like, man, I gotta be home. And then I think it was like 12:05, I get a text, you know, where are you? And I'm like, you don't want to know where I am. and so I get this text, and I'm like, oh gosh. And so I didn't answer. Then eventually the phone calls started happening. They started calling me, and I didn't answer a few of them. And I don't remember what time this is, but this is well after midnight. I finally decided to pick up the phone, right? And so I pick up the phone, and I'm like, oh gosh, I'm stuck here. I should probably answer. So I answered, and I told them where I was. And I just remember my dad coming to pick me up from this place. And yeah, it was a quiet ride home. Yeah, I was someplace where I shouldn't have been. And, you know, I probably got grounded from that. But I think beyond that, does that change my parents' love for me? Of course it doesn't. And so, you know, there's things that we do in this life, and, you know, there's sin. I mean, we all, like, have sin and the weight of sin. But nothing, I mean, I repeat, nothing can separate us from the grace of God. Amen? Amen. I mean, there's no sin. And so I know a lot of times when students, they leave the youth group and they go off to college, right? And they make these bad decisions in college. And then their friends from youth group, they see on Instagram or Snapchat that all these things, and they're doing all these bad things in college, and they don't feel worthy enough to come back to the church. It breaks my heart, because, you know, they felt like the decisions they made, like, they're not good enough to come back to church. Like, all these people know what I do now, and then they're going to judge me for that. But here's the thing, God doesn't, and we shouldn't either. You see, there's consequences that come with sin, but there's the love that is just unimaginable. And I think Jesus knew that we would struggle with unconditional love. Jesus knew that we would struggle with understanding it. And so he gave another story to help illustrate that. It's the, actually, before I get there, this past week, the youth group spent time with an organization called City Lights. And we served Thursday night underneath the bridge in downtown Tulsa. Wonderful organization. But let me tell you, talk about unconditional love that these people have. And when they serve the homeless. And so 3 weeks ago, they served about 560 homeless. There were 600 people there 3 weeks ago. And they've been doing this every year. No, every Thursday. Not every year. Every Thursday for 6 years. And out of the 6 years, they've only missed two due to weather. And it's just an amazing way to understand unconditional love. And so there's this guy there, our friend named Harvey. And Harvey has got a powerful testimony of unconditional love. And I'm just going to let him share that video with you.
So I meet this girl in town, right here down by the bridge, named Lisa. And she lived right behind this friend of mine, Glenn's house, in a little bitty dinky trailer. But she was so happy to see me when she got there. She's just a joyful woman. And we did without her most everything. But we had each other, you know. And when it snowed, I had no places to go. Lisa says, "You're not staying outside. You're coming with me." So I went and stayed in this little bitty dinky one-room trailer that she paid $50 a month for. I had no income. It was never going to go anywhere because drugs were involved. Anytime I'm going to say the word meth is involved, it destroys everything in its path. The following summer came up, and she went back to the hospital again. One lady sat down with her, took her hands, and said, "You have third stage cancer." I took care of her as long as I could, you know. It was like 5 months, 6 months. Finally, she got mad at me one evening. I leave. I was outside crying my eyes out. I didn't want to leave her because, you know, I know I heard her. She's in there crying now. And she's already in pain. I'm going to put her through some more. I didn't go back for a whole week until I got the message that Lisa passed. You know, man, dude, I lost it so big time. I went to this bridge down the street down here and stayed there. I got to get away from these drugs. I got to be done. I'm not going to make it if I don't. Walk straight up this road. Start walking in front of the building. I seen there on the pavement, it said, "With God, all things are possible." Man, that struck a key note in my brain. And I looked up at the door, and it said, "Woman's meeting." And I rung that buzzer. Well, here comes this shape. White. Oh, I think she's wearing white or blue. And she comes to the door, unlocks it, opens it up, says, "Hello, come in." Pulls me up a seat, too, and shuts the door, and goes over and gets me a cup of coffee and hands it to me. Just an angel, man. And she says, "Hi, my name's Sarah, and do you need anything?" Oh, man, I was so lost. I needed a friend, man. What she did for me that morning, with God, all things are possible. She opens the door. I come in, sit down. She showed me she cared, man, you know, and that's all I needed. Well, somebody show me they have that much care of what this other person is feeling and what's going on with you in your life, you know? Can I help you? Jesus loves you, you know, and that, man, I got that to the fullest. Fill my cup up.
Amen. Amen. Harvey, if you ever get a chance to meet him, he is on fire for God. So here he is three years ago, was a meth addict and on the streets. And he just walked by this sidewalk, and on the sidewalk was chalk. I said, "You know, with God, all things are possible." And he looked at that, and he was like, oh. Actually, he told me, he told us, he walked down the Quick Trip a little bit, he was thinking about it, and then he went back and he rang the doorbell. And that moment, he invited Jesus in his life, and he quit all the hard drugs, cold turkey, And he's been sober since. And that's the power of the Holy Spirit that he'll tell you. That's an amazing story. And it's just, God, like it blows my mind with the grace and the power of God. And so we're supposed to share that with others. And so the prodigal son, you guys know the story, but the son made a mistake, and a huge mistake. And he was at the lowest point in his life. He was eating with the pigs and said, "Man, my father's servants have it better than I do." And so what did he do? He said, "Okay, well, I'm going to go and you know, maybe if I work enough, I would, you know, become like one of my father's servants." And you see, we humans think that we need to earn each other's love by doing stuff. And so he got up and he went to go head back to the father. And what happened? If you look at the scripture that we read earlier, the father ran and ran after the son. Not the other way around. The son didn't run to the father, but the father ran to the son. And I just think that God is doing that for us. Amen? God is running towards us, meeting us where we're at. And we have to accept that gift. And so Andy Axtell sculpted a beautiful picture of a father embracing the son. It's out on the Welcome Center. I encourage you to go look at that. But they're hugging each other and they're crying. And just that moment when the father and the son just, they meet. And I know that you probably remember that in your life when you said, "God, I'm surrendering my life to you. I give you everything." Wow. The grace of God is amazing. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just we come before you this morning, God, and God, we invite your Holy Spirit into this place, God. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, and we want to praise you, we want to honor you, but God, we also want to be used by you. God, we want to be used by you to be a light in our communities, in our places of work, in places that we often don't feel comfortable. God, send us out from this place to be missionaries, to proclaim that you are the King of Kings, you're the Lord of Lords. God, we ask you to be with us. We know that you will. God, we also pray for those that are hurting today, as today is a painful an emotional day, God. There's a lot of pain in this world. We just ask your grace and your Holy Spirit to fill us with your love and your peace. God, we just lay all these things to your throne. God, all honor and glory is yours. Amen.